Well, we certainly appreciate the Gideon's ministry and how the God's word goes forth. You know, as reminded as he was sharing, I met a man down in Florida, and the man, he had been going through some hard times, relationship, and he was sitting in his truck, and he opened up the glove compartment, and in there was a Bible. And that Bible got him reading it and came to church, and it led him to the Lord ultimately, all because of a Bible that was there in his time of need. You never know how God will work, and so we appreciate the gift of giving, making sure the Bible is there and available, because it's God's word that they need more than anything else. Turn with me, if you would, this evening to Psalm chapter number 57. Psalm 57, as you may say, that's unusual for a missions message. We're going to be looking this week, next week, and then the Sunday after, a short messages or short series all related to missions today. In Psalm, we find ourselves a very missions-minded chapter. If you follow along, I'll read aloud as we're looking at the subject of "For the Sake of His Name." You notice perhaps this morning, our songs were all about the name of God. As we even consider missions, why do we do missions? Well, it's about lifting up the name of Jesus. It's about bringing God glory. And so we see this theme here in Psalm 57. I begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. Selah. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. Selah. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory. Awake, O harp and lyre. I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." This evening we look at a psalm that is praising God among the peoples or among the nations. And I think the theme verse really for this passage is found in verse 9, where it said, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations." You know, these are words that very much could be somebody's life verse. And saying, this is my goal, this is my desire, the passion of my soul is to make God known to any and all, to spread his name throughout the world. You know, when you think of this passage, what makes these words even more incredible is considering the author of this and what time he wrote this. In my Sunday school class this morning, in the past several weeks, we've been learning about King David. And really, we're in the point, he's not yet king, and Saul's been going after him. This passage here is most likely in reference to a time back in 1 Samuel chapter 22, where David has been fleeing from Saul for his life. And in fact, in chapter 21, if I'm remembering correctly, David, he's even feigning that he is crazy. And then in chapter 22, it opens up, he's in a cave. He's been running from King Saul. If your Bible at the beginning of chapter 57, it might have an inscription like mine. It says, "To the choir master, according to, do not destroy a mictum of David when he fled from Saul in the cave." I believe it's referencing this time. As David is fleeing from Saul, he's being pursued with about 3,000 men coming after him. David, he is driven into a cave. His life is at stake. Even verse 6 of our passage says, "They set a net for my steps. My soul was bound down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. Here is a man who is very near death. And just like in 1 Samuel chapter 20, David had told Jonathan, he says, there is but a step between me and death. This is a very hard time in his life. And yet through all of this, this psalm, there is a confidence here in David. He is confident that God is going to see him through, that God who is merciful and gracious and kind, and that he can trust him in the purpose and plan God has for him. He knows, it says several things in this chapter. In verse number 1, he knows of God's mercy. In verse number 2, he knows of God's providence or purpose. In verse number 3, he knows of God's salvation. And in verse 5 and 11, he knows of God's greatness. And so there's only one response that he has. And we see in verse 7 that there is a private meditation, or he's worshiping the Lord privately when he says, my heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. And then a little bit later in verse 9, he says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. What is going on in his personal life is going to affect his public life. It is a missionary pulse. It runs throughout this. And this is a wonderful hymn that we're looking at this evening. Psalm 52 really began a series of psalms that depicted a difficult time in David's life as King Saul is pursuing him. And so it began in 52 and it's going on. Chapter 57 is very similar to chapter 56. But the big difference is in 57, there is hope. There's encouragement here. There is a positive aspect to this. If we keep going, Psalm chapter 60, we see it comes up in Psalm 60 is quoted in Psalm 108. And interestingly, verses 7 through 11 of our passage are found in Psalm 108 and has ties to Psalm 60. These are encouraging psalms in the life of David. But as we begin here today, there are actually two ways we could have approached this psalm. I believe two ways we could have broken this down. The first one is to take this psalm and divide it in two. We could have gone in verses 1 through 5. Notice how verse 5 ends. It says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And that would have been the breaking point, the ending of the first half. And then in verse number 11, again we see the phrase, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, let your glory be over all the earth. And so, it would be appropriate to break the psalm down this way. There is another way, though, and this is the way we're going to go today. In verses 1 through 3, we see, it ends after verse 3, there's a little phrase there, Selah. I hope you see that in there. Oftentimes, when we read these, we ignore that word and go, okay, I see Selah, and we just move past it. But we see that here in verse 3. We see it again at the end of verse 6. It says Selah. You know why that is there? That Selah is meant to say, pause here and think about this. Pause here, consider what you just heard, consider these words, and just pause and meditate on this. And thus, we see this breakdown today, and the one I'm going to follow is that every time we see the word Selah is where we're going to take a pause and find our points. We're going to see the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and the glory of God that is trumpeted throughout this great psalm. And what is it that we declare to the nations about our God? As we've been looking at, for the sake of his name, we even saw that video this morning that says we are called to go to the nations for the sake of his name. What are we to declare? Well, first, in verses 1 through 3, we speak God's mercy to the nations. Read again with me, verses 1 through 3. It says, be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who trembles on me. Selah. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. You know, repeatedly in this psalm, David, he affirms the mercy of God. And in verse 1 and in verse 3 and also again in verse 10, He's constantly talking about the mercy of God and the steadfast love of God. In fact, in this passage, I believe it's 21 times that we see a reference to God, either by a name or a pronoun. And this doesn't even include the beautiful images or figures of speech about God. It is a psalm, a hymn, that is God-centered, God-focused, and it is a prayer from the very beginning to the end. It's all about God. And it speaks of His mercy, His kindness and compassion. There are really three truths that we see as he is declaring, the psalmist here, David, is declaring about the mercy of God in these first three verses. The first thing he shares with us in verse 1 is God can be trusted. Because He is a merciful God, He can be trusted. As He says, my soul takes refuge in the shadow of Your wings. I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I dare just do one illustration, a personal illustration this evening for time's sake. Just one, if you allow me. When Krista and the boys and I, we had moved down to Florida. I guess it was only two of the boys. Liam wasn't born yet. We had moved down to Florida, and eventually we bought a house. And after we bought the house in June, right before hurricane season. All right, and when hurricane season's coming, we had a problem. We knew that we needed a new roof. And hurricanes, that's not a good time to have a bad roof. And so there was a big, I think it was expected to be a Category 5 storm. It was a big storm expected to hit us directly. I don't remember if it was Irma or Matthew or whatever the name was. That was Matthew? All right, they're telling me that one was Matthew. Matthew was coming straight at us. You know what we did? My work said, we'll put you up in a hotel and you're going to work all day, but it'll be free on the other side of the state. We got up and left and said, our house may or may not be here. We did not trust the house. Year number two came around. This was longer than 2 years we've been here. But the second hurricane that came, another year. And he said, Krista and the boys left. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to my in-law's house. They had a big house. They had a metal shingled roof. That was the best roof you could possibly have. There are metal roofs, but this was a metal shingled roof. You know, I was a little bit afraid, but I stayed there. The next year, one more hurricane came. All right, I don't remember which one this was, but this time the whole family stayed. We sat there and said, now our roof was fixed. And we had a metal roof of our own. A roof that said it's good for 150 miles per hour. You know what we did? We hunkered down. We had a good time as a family. We stayed home for that hurricane. You know why we could stay there? Because we trusted in the shelter that was above our heads. Well, we trusted that our family would be okay from what was over us. As David is writing this psalm here in verse 51, he's saying, as he's calling out and speaking of God's mercy, he says, you can trust God. Just as if you look here, it says, in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge. David knew God to be merciful and trustworthy. The word translated trust here, and maybe in your version it says trust. In my version, the ESV, it says, for you and my soul takes refuge. It is a protection. David's soul, his very life, it is under God. It's in the shadow of His wing. As a little chick would hide under the wing of its mother for safety. As our family would hide underneath the roof of our house, David is saying, you can trust God to protect you. There are just several versions in the New King James. When it says here in my version, it says, till the storms of destructions have passed by. In the New King James, it says, until these calamities have passed by. In the NIV, it says, until the disaster has passed. Another version, not one of my favorites, but this one, it says, until the hurricane blows over. A friend, David says, you can trust God in the midst of a storm. Not only can He be trusted, you know that you speak of God's mercy because God hears your cries. Look at verse 2. I cry out to God Most High, to the God who fulfills His purpose for me. And David's crying out to his God, but it's not just any God that he mentions here. And when he says it's God Most High, Elohim Elyon, it's the God Most High, the awesome God, the sovereign God who rules and reigns over all of creation. This is the only God. There is no other like him. In Psalm 97, verse 9, it says, "For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods." This is a great God. He is the God that David needs. He is the God in our times of trouble that we need. You know, men plan. They have schemes. Men who may come after us and have plans to do evil to us, but they can never thwart God's plans and purposes. David hides in his God. David cries out to his God for mercy in the days of his trouble. And then ultimately we see in verse 3, we see that God gives the victory. He will send from heaven and save me. David believes deliverance is on the way directly from heaven. But what can men on earth do? As much as they try, as much as they scheme and plan, David says, "I have protection from heaven, from the exalted God. He comes down from heaven. He is near me. He is merciful to me. He is the God who we see that later in John 1:14. It says, he is the God who tabernacles and dwells among his people." This is a great God. By his powerful word, did you notice what it says? He will put to shame him who tramples on me. It's really his powerful word. It's going to swallow up. It's going to crush. It's going to trample those who are in hot pursuit of David. And how will he do this? Notice how it ends in verse 3. And it ends this way in verse 10. It says, "God will send out steadfast love and his faithfulness." How will God beat this terrible situation? It's saying because God is merciful. And the Hebrew word that is used here, now you know Hebrew is not my strong suit, although I am trying to understand it to the best of my ability. It's a word that has appeared a lot in the Psalms. It's the Hebrew word hesed, which is translated here as steadfast love. That love that you can count on. He is a covenant-keeping God. He doesn't break his word. He doesn't ever change. It's constant and abiding. It is a commitment that he has. When we stumble, God remains steadfast. When we are facing difficulties, God is steadfast. When you're in a cave, God puts you there for a reason. When there are those who are chasing you, God has a purpose. If people plot and plan our failure and destruction, we have a promise of God for mercy and salvation. We have his covenant love and his faithfulness. Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12 reminds us, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." You know, we must tell the nations, we must tell the people of our God. He is a merciful God and what he does for those who trust him and call on him. Secondly, this evening, that was our first point, is that we speak God's mercy to the nations. Secondly, we declare God's glory among the nations. We have a merciful God, but we declare his glory. Verses 4 through 6, "My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid fiery beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords." Now that was verse 4. I want you to skip intentionally verse 5 and look at verse 6. "And they set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. Selah." And you say, "Pastor, why do we skip verse 5? Well, you notice verse 4 and verse 6 are very discouraging. It is very difficult, and it's a hard thing to read. But in right in the middle of all this turmoil, right in the middle of all this trouble, notice what it said. "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth." We get this picture. This horrible picture as Saul is chasing David. His life is at stake. In the middle of this, David has this unreal confidence in God. And he's declaring his glory and lifting him up. In the midst of this difficulty, his heart is fixed on God. Well, how does this happen? In these dark clouds, in these storms, how can he magnify God this way? Well, what we see here is really two things. First, God's glory is magnified by those who speak evil. In verse 4 and 5, David, he's surrounded by those. It says they are like lions. They are ready to devour him. They are ready to eat him up. They are set against him. These sons of men, these humans, he's saying, like he's comparing them, they have teeth that are like arrows and spears. Their tongue is sharp. They pierce, they slice, they do anything to destroy. These evil men, they feast on God's servants. And as they hotly pursue him, if given the chance, they would kill him. They are out to destroy him if they had a chance. In the midst of that, David responds, "Be exalted above the heavens, O God, Elohim. Be exalted, O God, over all the earth." Your glory is the literal reading of verse 5. "Let your glory be over all the earth." He's saying, even in the midst of my troubles, you, God, are exalted. Secondly, God's glory is magnified by those who do evil. In verse 6, we see that they are setting traps for him. Often our enemies, they seek to destroy us, to set traps. It's like the idea of a hunter who is hiding to catch his prey and sneak up on them. He even mentions, look, they dig a pit. Really, it's the idea of his grave that he's going to fall into. They're doing everything they can. They're throwing every trick in the bag. And David says, you know, that this is really, it's meant to take him down. It's meant to destroy him. But in all the midst of this, he sees God. Did you notice what it said at the end of verse 6? "But they have fallen into it themselves." It's to their own shame. In the midst of all his troubles, his focus is on God. Charles Stanley, he once told a story, and he had shared how he went into this lady's home, and while he was in this lady's home, he saw a picture of the lion, Daniel in the lion's den. And as you looked at the picture, the lady had pointed out to him, she said, "See, Daniel, his knees are on the ground, but notice his eyes are on God. They weren't on the lions. They were on God." Think about it. That's the word Selah. Think about it. Here in the midst of all this, and all the reasons for David to fear and flee, David is concerned about the glory of God. You know, I often stand amazed at the testimonies of Christians in churches all around the world. They are persecuted for the very fact they are Christians. They are treated harshly for no other reason than they have said, "I am a little Christian. I am a little Christ. I am a believer of the one true God." And yet somehow they remain faithful. They remain active in a world that's against them, in a culture that says, "You can't do this." They're out there sharing the gospel. They have churches that are underground. How do they do that? It's because their eyes are focused, saying, "I will bring God glory." And he shines out of darkness. You know, church, there are many people, groups around the world who need the gospel. And they can live in dark and troubled times because they have the Lord. You see, that we've gone through two things. We speak God's mercy to the nations. Secondly, we declare God's glory among the nations. And then these last few verses we see, we proclaim God's greatness to the nations. In verse 7 it says, "My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory, awake, O harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations, For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. By faith, David has seen the salvation of the Lord. At the end of verse 6, and it says, they dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into themselves. He's saying, God, I have seen your salvation. I have seen your deliverance, your victory. And now he's coming and saying, and God, now I'm going to worship you. I'm going to glorify you throughout the world. He's going to shine the light of the gospel throughout the world. There are many people who need this as he considers this. There are several things. What is it that he's telling the nations? First, he's sharing with them in verse 7 and 8 that our God is an anchor. Our God is an anchor. You know, as you see in the importance here, as it begins in verse 7, my heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. He's saying, my heart is fixed. It is fixed in my heart. It is secure that I have this anchor in God. God is faithful to David, and he says, I'm going to be faithful to God. It is really this Hebrew parallelism is what we see in these verses. As David responds to the greatness of God, he says these things, I will sing and give praise. You know what he's saying? God, I'm going to worship you in song. Awake my glory, or the glorious part of me. It's really saying the very essence of who I am is to praise God. Awake, it says the harp and the lyre. You know what these are? They're instruments of praise. It's all about praise. I will awaken the dawn, or I will wake the dawn. He's saying it's a new era. It's a new day, a new reason to praise the Lord. From the depths of his soul, David's going to sing. He's going to make a joyful noise among the nations that a new day has dawned. This is a God that is worthy to be praised. This is God who is his anchor, that he is fixed in a hold of him. This God also we see, our God is an awesome God. In verses 9 through 11, we see a shift in David. In verses 7 and 8, it's personal. David is praising himself. It's private between him and the Lord. But now in verses 9 through 11, it's moved to here's a very beautiful song that is going out for others to hear. Again, this Hebrew parallelism, two things that are really saying the same thing, but it's the emphasis that's important. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. Again, it's repeated. I will sing praises to you among the nations. It's really saying the same thing twice. It shows the emphasis, how important this is. In my personal life, I'm praising God, but I'm going to really make sure that the nations hear about this. They will know who God is. And Calvin, as he had wrote, he sees a connection here in Romans 15:9, where it speaks of the ingathering of Gentiles together into the body of Christ. And his observation here is pretty important. As he shares, he says, David, he's going to praise, he's going to sing of this awesome God for two reasons. He says first that he will praise him for his mercy, for your steadfast love. He's going to talk about God's mercy, that it begins with him. This truth that stretches to the sky, it's great to the heavens. It fills it. It goes all the way up to heaven. Calvin says how deeply God loves his people and how true he is to his word. These are experiences that keep growing on God's children. As long as they draw breath here on earth, surely both are as high as the heavens or as high as the clouds. You know, if the mercy of God reaches the heavens, if the truth of his word goes all the way up to his clouds, then you know what? The response of our worship is very clear. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Our praise, our worship, our declaration of who this God is, it should go as high and as far as we possibly can take it. You know, as we finish this evening, I want you to take a look back to verse 3. In verse 3, You remember how David is saying, he will send from heaven and save me. The God of heaven. You know, you think about this for just a moment. How have we seen, even in our own lives, how has God sent from heaven for us? I think you know what I'm talking about. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. God sent his Son. This is a God who is merciful. This is a God who deserves to be glorified. And this is a God who we should be telling forth. He loved you so much. His glory is so great that we want you to hear about him and to worship him with us. Church, may we come out of our caves. David is in a cave. He is fleeing for his life. And yet in the midst of all this, he says, you know what? I have a great God that I want to tell everybody about. Church, what are we running from? What are we hiding from? But what is it that scares us that says, you know, I can't go? What is it that says, I can't leave this place of comfort? What is it that says, I can't go to even my neighbor or a coworker? Or what are we afraid of? You have a merciful God. You have a God that is worthy of all glory. You have a God that's worthy of us to share his praises to everyone. We cannot be silent. We need to tell of him in the streets of South Charleston, in the streets of St. Albans. We need to be going forth to New York and Washington. We need to go forth to India and China, Turkey, England. If necessary, we need to go to a people who don't want to hear about his name. But we go for the sake of his name. I close with one quick story. William Carey, he said it well in a letter to his son Jabez. This is what William Carey said. He said, God usually gives success to those who seek, in the most simple manner, his glory. And those who live most in the practice of prayer to him, dependence on him, and meditation upon his ways and works, especially those of redemption and providence, will be likely to seek his honor in all things more than any others do. I happen to wonder if did William Carey, when he said this to his son, was he meditating here on Psalm 57 as he spoke on the glory of God? Will you pray with me? Lord, this evening we have considered this great hymn, this great Psalm of David, in the midst of great turmoil and great struggles. Lord, David could sit there and say, you are a merciful God. You are a God worthy of all glory, and you are a God that I want to share with all the people, with all the nations. Lord, as we consider even this evening yet again our missions conference for the sake of your name, Lord, may we have a similar desire to share with the world your mercy in sending Jesus Christ, your glory in providing salvation, and your desire to see many come to Christ and to worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jeff is going to lead us in a song singing exactly about what we've talked about, that mercy of God as seen through Jesus Christ.
It's Robes for Mine. Let's stand, please, as we sing.